One day, wireless broadband could cover the entire planet. Many companies have plans for it, but to put it in place would require many more satellites and, of course, even more space junk. It's becoming a serious problem. Dr. Hugh Lewis is part of a European group looking at this. He's on the line. Afternoon, Hugh.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Could you start by telling us what are these mega constellations of satellites?
So the mega constellations are an arrangement of a large number of satellites, and their primary purpose is to provide communications to us on the Earth. And these ones have been proposed, have been specifically targeted at providing internet access.
And when you say large number, how many?
Well, I think we're looking at numbers anywhere between about 700 and 4,500 active satellites in the constellation.
Now, to launch a satellite into Earth orbit, do you need permission from anyone? And is there something equivalent to air traffic control that tells you where to put it?
Good questions. I think, yes, you do need permission. So typically what would happen is that a national government or agency would essentially provide you with a license to launch your satellite. And you have to meet their criteria for doing that. In terms of space traffic management, there isn't really any system that we've got. It's very unlike aircraft traffic management in the sense that orbital paths take satellites anywhere over the world. So it can be very difficult to arrange them in the same way or to manage them in the same way.
Is it known how many objects then are circling the Earth at the moment?
We're looking at around about 20,000 that we can track using radar facilities on the ground, but they're probably around about 10,000 more than that, that are the size of a softball or bigger. And when we talk about the smaller size debris, the size of about 1 centimetre or a small coin, we're probably looking at around about 750,000 of those.
And how fast would they be travelling, particularly the smaller pieces?
Well, in order to maintain the orbit, satellites and the debris travel at speeds in excess of about 7.5 kilometres per second. To put that into perhaps terms we understand, it's about 10 times faster than a bullet, or it's London to New York in about 11 minutes.
So if one of those small pieces hits a satellite, it will inflict significant damage on it.
Absolutely. And, the speeds are so great that even something very, very small can cause a significant amount of damage. Even something millimetres in size can actually disrupt a satellite enough so that the satellite would lose its functionality.
Those small pieces, where have they come from? Have they come from, I assume they've come from previous satellites that aren't in service anymore?
You're absolutely right. I think most of the small objects have come from predominantly from collisions or explosions that have occurred in orbit since the beginning of the space age. But we also see a very large population of very, very small objects that have come from things like shedding of materials from spacecraft and the erosion that occurs in orbit.
Why don't those items fall into the Earth's atmosphere and therefore burn up safely?
Many objects actually do enter the atmosphere and burn up. The problem we have is that as you go up higher in altitude, the effect of the atmosphere is much reduced. So there are objects maybe above 800, 1,000 kilometres altitude that don't experience very much drag at all. And those objects could be there for centuries or even longer.
So is there any way to get rid of particularly the smaller objects, if there is 750,000 of them?
Well, the small ones pose a bit of a challenge because we can't see them from the ground in terms of we can't generate orbits for them, so we can't predict where they will be in the future. And that makes it very difficult. But they still have enough energy to cause huge amounts of damage to anything that we might send up to try and retrieve them. So the small objects are a particular challenge. That's not to say that it's easy for the big objects. I mean, there are problems there as well. But I think from a technological point of view, it's probably easier to go after the bigger things than it is for the smaller things, because we can see them.
So obviously, the more satellites you put up, the more there's an increased chance of collision. By how much is that chance increasing?
Well, I think it's probably difficult to put an exact number on it. So part of the role that we have is we use computer models to try and make that kind of prediction. And what we're seeing is a really damaging, catastrophic collision about once every 5 to 10 years. That's what we're predicting for the future. Mm. And by that, I mean, two relatively big objects colliding.
And so to get rid of the larger objects that aren't in service anymore, how would one go about doing that?
Well, getting rid of them is actually is still very technologically demanding. I think that, you know, that there are ideas that have been put forward by a European Space Agency, for example, to use a robotic arm attached to a spacecraft. They go up and they grapple the dead object and then essentially drag it down into the atmosphere to burn up. Mm. That's probably the most realistic option that we have at the moment, although lots of other technologies have been talked about. But it's still, you know, in the early stages, if you like.
And there isn't any set protocol for what a satellite, what would be done with a satellite once it's outlived its usefulness?
Well, I think what we say to satellite operators, once you've finished your mission, then it's up to the operator to remove it from orbit. And normally the guidelines suggest take no longer than 25 years in order to do that. So the onus is on the satellite operator to comply with that. Failing that, then your really only alternative is to send up another mission to remove it from orbit. And that's where the technological challenges really do lie.
Also at enormous expense. If the European Space Agency, are they going to send up craft to get rid of satellites from other parts of the world?
Well, I think that there are certain conventions, international conventions that apply that make it quite difficult for one agency or one nation to go after another nation's satellite. So typically what you'd find is that the European Space Agency will be looking at targeting their own satellites and objects that belong to them in order to not, you know, fall foul of any international conventions or treaties. Mm. So I think, you know, European Space Agency mission, which is called EDORBIT, is set to target a European Space Agency satellite.
Are other nations such as the United States and China and India, etc., are they particularly concerned with the issue of space junk, and are they doing anything about it?
It's definitely an international problem, and there is an international effort that has been underway for a number of decades, actually. So the major space agencies around the world, including India, China, Japan, they all come together once a year to discuss the issues and to try and define ways in which you can tackle the problem. So there really is this this big international effort underway.
Just sending up armed rockets to blow them out of the sky, is that a viable option?
That's not something that we'd really try and encourage, because you generate a big cloud of debris from taking that kind of action. We saw that in 2007 when the Chinese government shot down one of their own satellites, and that generated a debris cloud that had more than 3,000 trackable objects in it. Between that and another collision in orbit, we see 50% of all the close approaches that occur on orbit involve fragments from those two particular events. So it's not a good idea to be shooting down any satellite.
Dr. Hugh Lewis is a senior lecturer in aerospace engineering at the University of Southampton. Hugh, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.